Let me read again from Revelation 22, the verses 13 to 16, 13 and 16, and then I'll have a word of prayer, and then I'll preach the sermon that I've prepared. Revelation 22, verse 13, we read, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star, or the bright and morning star. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we are about to hear the preaching of the word, we ask for your spirit to accompany us in proclaiming the word and in listening to the word. We pray that the word may be the seed of regeneration for those yet unsaved, and that it may be food for the soul for those who are saved. We read in your word, as one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem, that is, in God's house, under the gospel word. May we experience that together, and to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear church family belonging to Christ, I would never have imagined preaching on the subject I'm about to preach on. Let me tell you how it happened. I was working on a series of sermons on Jesus' names. And there are over 200 names and titles for Jesus in the Bible. Did you know that? There are four that are most special, and Reformation catechisms will take special effort to teach those four names. And you know those four most important names? Jesus, Christ, Lord, and Son. Jesus means Savior. Christ, the Anointed One, anointed to the office of prophet, priest, and king. Lord means master, ruler, son, son of God, son of man. When Paul wants to preach the gospel in the book of Romans and open it up, he begins in the verse 4, I think it is, speaking out all four names. And in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, he says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes, those are the four main names, but I was preaching a series on other titles, and I was wondering, what shall be my next title that I should preach on? And I was going through the Bible, knowing that all his names reflect who Jesus is, in his glory, in his beauty, and I was wondering what should be the next name, and I came to Revelation 22. And as I was reading that passage, all of a sudden, the word "and" really stood out as so significant and precious indeed, just in the verses 13 and 16, which has 10 names and titles of the Lord Jesus in it. One little word, so full of meaning. I hope you see it with me today, and you go from here magnifying God our Savior and his precious inspired word. Who is the Christ child whose birth we reflect on again and again? Who is he, the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, who suffered, who died, who rose again, who ascended into heaven, and who's coming back one day? Who knows when? Who is Jesus Christ the Lord? Well, just listen again to what we read in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, 13 and 16. There we read about Jesus as ascended and exalted Savior of sinners, saying to his church and for all the world to know, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star, or the bright and morning star, as many translations also put it, based on many Greek manuscripts. Well, now, dear congregation, we could think in detail on all these 10 names in their two verses, all these titles for Jesus. And no doubt your pastor could well do a series of sermons on those 10 names. But in this sermon, with you here today, let's focus instead just on that little word, and, in both verses. Revelation 22, verse 13 and 16. Oh, the and, joining the two parts in the couplets, just the and, is far more precious than gold. If you only think it through, and with your mind and heart, you are trusting and following the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. With that little word and, just as found in our two verses only, the purpose of this message, dear congregation, is simply to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior of sinners for all his worth, and to show you something of the beauty of God's Holy Spirit-inspired word, telling us about him. And I pray that God's people here will be so encouraged by the preaching this morning, and that those who are not yet saved will realize what they're missing when remaining unrepentant and unconverted to God as revealed in Christ the Savior of Scriptures. So the theme for this sermon this morning is very simply, and awesome, noteworthy, delightful gospel conjunction, using the letters of the word and. Awesome, noteworthy, delightful gospel conjunction. That this word can speak such volumes is awesome, our first thought. When you just think even of that, it's only a three-letter conjunction, both in the English and in the Greek and in the Hebrew as well. And children in church here, I know school is soon going to be over, or if you're homeschooling, maybe the season is soon to be done. But I'd like to ask you, do you still learn, I hope so, in English class or grammar class about verbs, nouns, prepositions, pronouns, adverbs, yes, and conjunctions too? They're important. It's a little word, but and it's so common, isn't it, the word and? It's so common in everyday speech and writing. Did you know that in the New Testament, or in the whole Bible, and is found thousands and thousands of times? In the New Testament, about 9,000 times. In the Old Testament, about 30,000 times. And it's just a little conjunction, yes. Meaning, it's a connecting word, isn't it? It's a connecting word. And it's joining one thing to the next. It links one matter to another. And listen very carefully now. I know you believe this as church that wants to hold to the Word of God. There isn't one use of this conjunction and in the Holy Bible as translated from the original which isn't Holy Spirit inspired. Even every and in the Bible, as written by the inspired authors and given to us in the Scriptures, has divine meaning and purpose and relevance and authority. You can't scratch out even one and rightly if that is what the text says, as given by God himself. And think now then with me, how awesome is each and in our text for this service. In our two texts, the little word and several times in a row links for us two rich truths wonderfully, which, if not linked, would make the two truths in each couplet most meaningless and certainly without any gospel power and comfort for us. And to see this, imagine if a baby is born and And you couldn't say, as we most often can, by God's goodness and mercy, oh, look at our little baby girl or little baby boy. See how she has arms and legs. She has eyes and ears. She has a nose and a mouth and has five fingers and five toes on both his hands and feet. You hear what I'm saying? The use of "and" is telling us about that baby. It's bringing out what a healthy baby the Lord has given. Praise be to the Lord. It makes me think of Proverbs 20, verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Or take instead a new place or a new vehicle or computer that you may be considering to purchase. You look at that house, you look at that truck or that computer, and you say, wow, it has this and this and that and that and that besides, notice, and this also, don't forget. And what's the result? Well, you are totally drawn in and you're attracted to what you are hoping to purchase. You add up all the ands together and you said, I'm getting a good deal here. There's no doubt. If you could buy that house or truck or computer, what a great purchase it would be. Well now, with Jesus, the Savior of sinners, whom God has given, our text, in the same way, in the last chapter of the Bible, take note of that, by the way, just with the little word "and," is proclaiming to us loud and clear what a whole and complete, indeed, what a perfect and supreme Savior for sinners like us God has given. When the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son to become Emmanuel, God with us, Son of God and Son of Man. And listen, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star, or you could say the bright and morning star. In reflecting on these ands in our two texts given us in the last chapter of Revelation, do you see with me? It seems like even just as the New Testament is about to close, God the Holy Spirit sends out, yet like at a fireworks display, you know, one more climactic, dazzling gospel display with flash after flash, one after another, all joined together with ands concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. And behold, all his beauty and splendor and worth as Savior of sinners, as the Bible closes in its very last chapter. And here, just imagine with me, in our two texts from Revelation 22, there wasn't this connector conjunction "and." I mean, are you okay with a Savior who is Alpha, but not Omega? Beginning, but not end? First, but not last? Root of David, but not descendant of David? Bright star, but not morning star? No way, says the true child of God, who knows something of how great his or her sins and miseries are by nature. I need, don't you too? I need a complete Savior God in every way, initially and continually, or being truly saved and staying really saved and having genuine peace and eternal peace in my heart in life and death is just not possible. Indeed, doesn't the true Christian even come to learn and to see, well, my salvation and my hope for this life and life eternal lies, in fact, even in the "and." In each of these couplets, "your and my salvation" is only possible for us and has any real meaning and sense and comfort exactly because of the "and" in each and all the five couplets as also given now in Revelation 22. Does this make sense now to you too, dear congregation, children and young people, older ones, everyone here? Does it make sense to you? Thinking of the word "and," looking to ourselves, I thought of how we can be, at least I can, and I'm sure you're not that much different. Well, I can be, and we can be so often anxious, needy, despairing. Again, just using the letters of the word "and." Anxious, needy, despairing. But you see, with the "and" in our text, we truly find and have an awesome, noteworthy, delightful gospel conjunction, providing great salvation, hope and help and comfort for us, for whoever trusts and follows Christ Jesus in whatever circumstances of life we may be in. Notice how four or five times with "and," God is saying to us, you and me, as he closes off the Bible with Jesus the Savior, you have a complete Savior in all your needs, regardless how sinful you are in yourself, and no matter your failures and remaining struggles and challenges. Just hang on to this "and," this gospel conjunction "and" in our text, and you will not be put to shame. Maybe this morning, I don't know many of you, I know some of you, but maybe this morning there's one or more here quite downhearted and discouraged within himself or herself. Could be for all kinds of reasons. I mean, we live in tough times, economically, politically, family-wise, it's stressful. Church-wise, the devil's always on the attack. Spiritually, you can struggle, can't you? One day looks good, the next day, why did you fall for that sin? You were so weak, so frail. It could be maybe with schooling, you're discouraged. Where are you going? Maybe with homeschooling, you're troubled. It seems like it's more struggle than joy. You name it, whatever. It can be in life, can't it? For all of us. We don't see light at the end of the tunnel. Of daily life, of ongoing problems and struggles and trials and sorrows and debts and disappointments and hardships and anxieties that we find ourselves in. Or maybe that you feel for your family, your loved ones. Especially those who are not walking in God's ways. Well, whatever the case, may I point you this morning to Jesus, as described in our text, even just to the fivefold "and," yes, to lift up your spirits, to revive and renew faith in God as revealed in the Christ of Scripture, and to bring light in your darkness, hope in your miseries, comfort in your sorrows, direction in your confusion. Yes, truly and wonderfully so, by his grace and word and spirit. The "and" in the text, as given five times at least in our two verses from Revelation 22, it's an awesome gospel conjunction. It really is. But to see that more clearly, let's move to our second thought, showing it to be also most noteworthy, and to drive this home, how noteworthy and richly significant is this conjunction. And let me mention another couplet in Scripture that may help bring it out and shed light on our text's five couplets. I'm thinking here now of what we read in Hebrews 12. If you know your Bibles, you will know the verses, no doubt. The verses were the inspired writer of Hebrews exhorts struggling Christians in his day, having a hard time with many struggles and temptations, and Satan going about trying to frustrate them and lead them astray. Listen to this verse, Hebrews 12, where we are told, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us," meaning steadfastly to go on with diligence in the Christian life. How so? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You could translate that phrase, Christ, as founder and perfecter, as other translations put it, the author and finisher of the faith, or as the originator and completer of the faith. What it's telling us is, in Jesus, we have a reliable Savior the whole way through, from beginning to end. Most reliable. Whatever the exact terms you might use, the summary divinely inspired teaching is that the whole of our salvation, praise God, from start to finish, is dependent on Jesus Christ, the Savior. It's centered on Him. It revolves around Him. It's all found in Him as crucified and risen Redeemer, Savior of sinners. Just now, I use another "and." Very significant. We say it so often and so easily, but what phrase am I talking about that I just used? Well, I spoke about Christ Jesus, our crucified and risen Savior. Just imagine if Jesus was only crucified Savior, but not risen Savior. Then, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, all our faith would be vain, and salvation from sin and escape from hell forever hopeless for everyone, including you all and myself. But listen, Jesus, He is crucified and risen Savior. He is. I listened to the sermons. I noted the sermons of your pastors the last couple weeks. He emphasized it very much. Also last week. You know it, don't you? Jesus is risen, for sure, as He said. He's the crucified and risen Savior. So He's the author and finisher of our faith. You can count on Him. This is what the "and" in the five couplets is saying. And we read in Hebrews, He's seated at God's right hand. He's already there for us. He's the forerunner. He's the anchor of our souls. You can be so sure of salvation, trusting and looking to Him. Well, do you hear? The most precious, reliable, solid, ever gracious, comforting gospel for all who trust and follow Jesus as only Savior and Lord. Yes, just in the awesome, noteworthy gospel conjunction "and." And to bring this now back to our text in Revelation 22, when our text says, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Well, that's using the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Sometimes you may have seen churches where they have it on their pulpit, Alpha and Omega on the pulpit, or on some kind of plaque or something on a wall. And it's saying that we as church, we want to preach a Savior who is a complete Savior for hopeless, hell-worthy sinners with nothing to offer of themselves. It's declaring to us that Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, the whole of our salvation in every way is found in and with Him and with Him alone. He's the Alpha and Omega. You could say He's the A to Z Savior and every other letter between. Indeed. And the key to being saved, dear congregation, and remaining saved and being fruitful, joyful believers is always and again looking to this Savior, drawing from this Savior, trusting this Savior, and clinging to Him, staying with Him, no matter what, as revealed to us in His Word. Let Him be your all in all, says the Apostle Paul. In Christian worship today, how good and God-honoring when you and I may again, or for a first time even, be drawn to this Christ and to acknowledge Him and His perfect saving work as crucified and risen Savior of sinners. When we look to Him as you're my only refuge and most wonderful hope and help and comfort, Jesus is the and savior of the five couplets in our text for undeserving, unreliable, still struggling, and yes, alas, still so sinful people as you and I are, even when we are confessing Christians. Also, in thinking of the need of the Holy Spirit and his regenerating and converting, sanctifying work in our hearts and lives, it is in and through Jesus Christ, as given by the Father, that we can be sure of redemption accomplished and applied. Yes, full and free for whoever has ears to hear. There's a famous book, it's in the Reformed Book Services bookstore, by John Murray, Redemption Accomplished and Applied. It's a very good book telling us what Jesus has completely all done, sinners to save, and how by the Holy Spirit he brings it home to the hearts of his elect. For as many as repent and believe on him. Looking away from self, dear congregation, to this Christ, the Savior, this is the gospel message. Don't be anxious, discouraged. Don't be needy, distressed people, for Jesus is the Savior for all who call on him, who supplies wondrous salvation. All who come to him in repentance and faith, he's the gracious and glorious Savior of sinners, the most faithful and everlasting Savior who never quits or stops in his saving and sanctifying work till he brings his people home. He works salvation accomplished and applied in a beginning and ending way, in a first to last way. Our text in Revelation says that too, doesn't it? Most wonderfully. It's all telling us Jesus is the all-sufficient Savior. Whatever your situation, whatever your sin and trouble and need, he's the all-sufficient Savior for repentant, believing, struggling people of God who have nothing to offer of themselves ever but their failures and their shortcomings and their sins and their inconsistencies and their remaining sinfulness on this side of heaven. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord in Christ Jesus. Are you trusting him? Is your hope in him? You know, there's a story in the Old Testament. Children, you might know this story. When Moses was being sent by God to be the leader of Israel, God gave him a sign. He said to him, that rod in your hand, throw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Well, later in the palace of Pharaoh, when Moses told Pharaoh, let my people go, and Pharaoh resisted, then Moses also, at God's command, he threw his rod on the palace floor, and it became a serpent. And then we read that the devilish magicians, by devilish magic of Pharaoh, they also threw their rods on the floor and made serpents as well, somehow. But you know the story. The story is, and it's a true story, it's history, factual history, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit told us. Moses' rod, Moses' serpent, swallowed up all those other serpents. And it's a little example of how surely the Lord will swallow up every sin and objection or struggle or trouble from you and me unto our complete salvation, trusting him. The gospel is, in and with Jesus Christ, is we find plenteous redemption. That means endlessly needed redemption, accomplished once for all by Jesus Christ's life and death ministry on behalf of sinners, and the Spirit working it in our lives by grace through faith in him. Well, think about this. I like to think about it and to encourage myself with it. Our numberless ands and buts in life that could prevent us from being saved initially and staying saved continually are infinitely outnumbered, even just with the five gospel ands and that we find in our texts and in other places. Let sinners come to this Jesus Christ of the Bible for a first time, and God's people for all time, and you will never have reason to be destitute or dismayed. Our two texts for this service prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Or don't you believe the word of the Lord? we're dealing with the word of the Lord. You get that, right? Also, that Jesus is the root and the descendant of David. If he was only the root, he would never have come. And the gospel of salvation for sinners like us would never be accomplished, nor any gospel promises fulfilled. But what did the angel say to Mary when announcing to her she would be the chosen mother of the Christ child? We don't worship her, as sadly happens in the Roman Catholic Church, abysmally so. She's a sinner saved by grace, who God used in his redemptive purposes. But look, 1:32-33 says, we read there, the angel saying to Mary about the baby to be born from her womb, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great good news? It is. It's the only good news for a fallen world, blinded in sin and misery. Oh, and that Jesus is the bright and morning star. Oh, that's so great too. He's not just a bright star in the sky at night, but he's the morning star. The morning star that promises a new day for all God's people. What's that refer to? Well, it refers to the new and eternal day, where there will be no more night there, as we read also in verse 5. We read, and no night will be no more there. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be there. He'll be their light, and they will reign forever and ever in that light. He's the bright and morning star. You see, the point is, God's people, looking to Christ, trusting him, Jesus, we may know, he's the light of the world, and in the final day, in the world to come, he will be the light there, and all the redeemed forever will be living in the light, with no more oppressive or fearful darkness around us ever again. Oh, don't you long for that too sometime? Altogether, then, you see it with me, don't you? It's amazing, isn't it? It's just wonderful that with a little conjunction and as part of God's Holy Spirit-inspired word, the Lord teaches us so much to give us hope and encouragement in the gospel way. It's these ands in our text today that proclaim and promise to us, dear congregation, Christ as altogether gracious and glorious Savior of sinners. He's the exact Savior you and I need. Have you learned how much you need him? Have you learned how much you need him? All other ground is sinking sand, but trusting him, you build on the rock of ages. You surely do. Are you trusting the Savior to be your Savior too? Isn't it amazing? I find it really just amazing how in this very context, the scriptures give us one of the most gracious invitations. Verse 17, right in this context, we read, the Spirit and the bride say, come, yes, in Jesus' name. And let the one who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water without price. Isn't that a beautiful invitation? Just on the last page of the Bible still. Our God is not desirous for the death of the wicked, but that everyone turn from his sin and believe in Jesus Christ. Truly trusting Christ means you coming to him, confessing your sins and sinfulness, acknowledging this Jesus Christ of Scripture, the crucified and risen Redeemer, as the only Savior of sinners, truly called and capable and willing to save also someone like you and like me. When you struggle in the faith with feeling so unworthy sometimes, feeling so guilty still, so corrupt in yourself yet so often. Still too often doing wrong, even against your will. Then the exhortation of our text is, hold on to these ands in our text, each and all of them, and hope in the Lord, and you will not be put to shame. On the other hand, when people won't look to this Savior and instead continue to live in stubborn unbelief or pious unbelief, that can happen too. You can sit in church and look nice, but really you're playing games. You're not really seeking the Lord and believing on Him. Whoever is still going on in unbelief, not turning from sin, and going to the Lord in spirit and truth for His mercy and His grace and His saving help. What is the hope for all such who continue in unbelief? What's the hope? What does the Bible say? None. Zero. There's no hope for you, for this life, and for the life to come. We read in Mark 8, verse 36, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Is that the end? Finally, to summarize your life, anyone here this morning, yet unsaved? You lived here on earth. You spent yourself. You tried to be a fairly good person. You even went to church, but you didn't believe. And then you died, and you left all behind, and you perished forever in hell. But the Bible teaches that's what happens, doesn't it? Proverbs 29 verse 1 states most fearfully, he who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing. Another translation has it, beyond healing and without remedy. Let me read it, the other translation. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Think of it. If you are unbelieving and refusing to hear and obey the gospel call, you will live a life of endless regrets and then perish in sin and meet with God and eternity, and that beyond healing and without remedy forever. Will that be your future? Anyone here? Living and dying without hope of deliverance from sin and then meeting eternal doom? Because you cared not for Jesus Christ as Savior, as given by God and as proclaimed to us in the Bible, which tells us all about our sin and the only way of salvation and eternal life being all by grace alone, through faith alone, in Him alone. I love acronyms. By grace alone. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. How can it be ours? By faith alone, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all. I desire Him. I trust Him. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Well, in Luke 13, 28, speaking of hell, Jesus says, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. Oh, the Bible urges so earnestly to all of us to repent of sin and to believe the gospel and to trust and follow the Lord Jesus while it is yet the day of grace. Will any not heed this word? Think of it, think it through, the evil of despising God and His precious gospel all your life and so dying, and then no more salvation possible ever forever, having repeatedly despised Jesus and His gospel word here and now. I pray, God, it will not be so for anyone among us, younger, older, middle-aged, everyone here. No, but that we hear the two texts with its most awesome, noteworthy gospel ands, and that we hear it like never before even. How wonderful, if God today here saves a sinner through the little conjunction and in His word. Oh, with Him, nothing is impossible. One little word can fell Satan and his dominion, and he can use the word "and" to convert sinners for now and forever. Some of you will know the book by Nahil Qureshi. He passed away early in life. He wrote a book called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. And he gave this testimony. You can read it in the foreword of the book. When converted to Christianity before his death, he writes, quote, "There's nothing like the one true God. If I had known just how boundless is the love of God, how transformative his grace and mercy, just how liberating his exemplary life and death, I would have run to him years sooner with all my might." Yes, for this man, you see, he discovered by the Holy Spirit the gospel truth that Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly. John 10, verse 10. So let no one here stay unrepentant and hardened. No. And then, speaking to you who believe, how wonderful, isn't it? And blessed when the Lord now by his Spirit and word builds up his people in the Christian faith, even through just these five or four conjunctions in our text, the word "and." Just these five "ands" in our text, even as found in the last book of the Bible, addressed to Christians, many of whom in that time were also persecuted and were having very difficult struggles and troubles. These "ands" here surely gave them so much hope and comfort. And they're meant in the last chapter of the Bible to bless God's church throughout the ages till the day Christ returns. Who knows when the trump shall sound and he comes again. But let's note it yet for our third thought on our text. How delightful is this conjunction "and"? We've seen it's an awesome conjunction. We've seen it's noteworthy. Let's notice yet it's delightful. And it's so delightful because if you understand the gospel just in the repeated conjunction "and" in our two verses, it helps you see, doesn't it? What Paul calls the unsearchable riches of Christ as only Savior and Lord for as many who look to him. That Savior is made known to us in all the scriptures. There's nothing more, you believe this too? Christians will. There's nothing more Jesus could have done to save sinners like us, and there's nothing more that needs to be done to save sinners like us. Trusting him, we have full and free redemption for now and forever. And the more you think about it, if you grasp in faith just the "ands" in our two texts in Revelation 22, the whole of Scripture begins to open up with so much more meaning and power and giving God's people endless reason even to skip for joy. And here, let me illustrate this, just giving you some other text references from the Bible, showing you the power of the word "and," the preciousness of it. Take, for instance, 1 John 1:9. We read there, "If we confess our sins to God," that is, as revealed in Christ, "if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And what about the text, 1 Timothy 1:15? This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hallelujah. What about 2 Peter 1, verse 2a, where we read this word of blessing, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." What about Psalm 23:6? "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Think of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 to 31. "And because of him," that is God, "you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." What about Psalm 147, verse 3, where we read about the Lord? "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." What a great physician we find in him for body and soul, for mind and heart. What about Psalm 86, verse 5, where the psalmist testifies, "For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you." What about the beautiful word of Isaiah 45, verse 22, where God earnestly calls out to all, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." What about Psalm 103, verse 8, where God says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." What about Psalm 121, verse 8? "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Could it be better than that? Tell me. It couldn't be better than that. And James 4, verse 7 and 8, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." Zechariah 1, verse 3, "Return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." What about Acts 2, 39? "For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." What about Acts 5, verse 30 to 32, where Paul and the apostles testified, quote, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And what about Matthew 11, verse 28? "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In Song of Solomon, we read these words, thinking of Mother's Day. The bride says about her bridegroom, referring ultimately to the believing church, speaking about their Savior, "His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me," just like a mother taking care of her child. Well, I could go on, dear congregation. Do you hear it? How many great and precious gospel ands you can find all through the Bible. I could go on and on for another half hour, giving you text after text showing the beauty and the power and the riches of the gospel, just taking note of that little word "and" in text after text after text. Maybe a good challenge for you later today, it's the Lord's Day, or else later this week, in your personal and family devotions, that you look for a verse with a precious and share it with family and friends too. That's so good if in the fellowship of each other, in the Christian faith, we say to each other, "Did you know this was in God's word?" And we point each other to God's word. That's so good. That's what builds us up or not. And I'm thinking of Mother's Day today. Just read Proverbs 31 and take note of the ands. How God describes a faithful wife and mother. And you'll be amazed. You'll be convicted. You'll be strengthened. You'll say, "God, you are great and greatly to be praised." Well, with this challenge about looking for a text, I think of a verse like Psalm 34, verse 3. It's not just my own idea. We read there, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us glorify his name together." Is that what we're about? If Bible reading congregation is getting boring or stale, as sometimes can happen even for Christians, pay attention to the conjunction "and." And under God's blessing, you will be surprised how it opens up the scriptures and can so warm and thrill your heart and soul that you say, "God, this is amazing. It's really amazing." Ask yourself every time, without the "and," there would be no gospel. But with the "and," as revealed in Christ, how the conjunction "and" so brings out the precious and powerful, sweet good news of the gospel. Jesus came to this earth for to seek and to save the lost. That's in Luke 19:10. I read of a church that had that on their website as a verse they wanted to represent their church. Jesus come to seek and to save the lost. And there's another "and," if you just think it through, how infinitely precious. I mean, just imagine if Jesus only came to seek lost sinners. Who then could be saved? Or if he only came to save lost sinners, but not to seek them by his word and spirit, who then would be saved? Honestly, I need both the seeking and saving Savior of sinners. Yes, initially, and all my life long, till my last breath. Don't you too? When it's well with your soul, by God's grace and spirit. Well, again, the point is, read your Bible, paying attention to the little conjunction and you will find in many thousands of cases, there is reason to pause and to worship and praise the Lord for his "ands" in the Bible, so often being indeed awesome, noteworthy, delightful gospel conjunctions. Having heard God's gospel word now this morning, will you rely on this Christ and will you continue to trust and follow him in humble thankfulness and tell of him to others going on your way, rejoicing in this Savior with heart and lip sincere? Rejoicing, yes, with exceeding joy. For Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior, the true and living Savior, the crucified and risen Redeemer, who says of himself, "For all who will hear, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, that is my minister, to testify to you about these things for the churches." Indeed, with word and sacrament. And that, think of it, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What a gospel! Oh, don't you agree this is a gospel so endlessly gracious and glorious, inviting and earnest, and yes, so very, very comforting and exciting. And that, for sinful, undeserving people like ourselves, in church and outside the church, for Jew and Gentile, for whoever has ears to hear. It will take an eternity to thank the Lord for his plan of redemption and his saving, even a sinner like you and like me. Well, this gospel of Jesus Christ, this is the gospel. And think of it, it's the gospel, don't forget, for soul and body, in life and death, for now and forevermore. Oh, thanks, Lord, for all your word, and especially now for the awesome, noteworthy, delightful gospel conjunction in our two texts this morning. And to you be all the glory. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, what a Savior. And what a scripture. We acknowledge the Holy Bible is God's book. And we pray that we may look at it always in humble reverence and in deep gratitude and in submission, asking you to teach us the beauty of scripture. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus, such a perfect Savior for hopeless, helpless sinners as we are of ourselves. Lord, the gospel could not be better. And the gospel is so gracious and so good. Help us, Lord, when we know it, not to hide it under a bushel, but to let it shine individually and as churches. Also in this city where so many do not know the gospel or do not care about the gospel. Oh, that they may have their eyes opened while it's yet the day of grace. We do thank you that it's Mother's Day today. But we are sad when so many celebrate Mother's Day, but forget the God who gives mothers and fathers, and forget God who has given the first day of each week to be the Lord's Day, where we come to worship you. and learn every blessing comes to us in and through this Jesus Christ and his wondrous person and amazing works, as also taught in the conjunction and just in the two verses that we've meditated on this morning. Oh, hear our prayer. Help us to be a light while it's yet a day of darkness. And remember us in mercy. Bless your word by your Holy Spirit. Forgive all that which was sinful, even in our most holy activities. Bless this day further too, that we may live to your praise and be equipped for the coming week to honor each day to your glory and for your praise and honor. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.